beginning last Sunday, and pretty much on all the Sundays throughout the year, until next Thanksgiving time, the church will put before us the story of Jesus as recounted in the Gospel according to Luke. The four Gospels are not carbon copies of each other. They are remarkably different from each other. All four of them announce the story of Jesus. But each one of those four authors views Jesus through his own eyes. He sees Jesus through his own perspective. And so the picture that is drawn for us at times is very different one from the other. And yet it is the same Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Luke has a world perspective. And he sees the story of Jesus not only in the context of the nation of Israel, but in the context of the whole world. He sees the story of Jesus as having an effect upon the whole world. He sees the story of Jesus as being central to all the world. He believes that Christianity is a worldwide religion. And so what he does is he frames his gospel, and he also frames the other book he wrote, the Acts of the Apostles, in the context of Jesus proclaimed to all the world. And so in today's Gospel, the beginning of the third chapter, he wants to locate this event in history for us. So he says it is 46 or 47 A.D. It is the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius. He says to us that Pontius Pilate was the governor at the time. He tells us that Palestine had been divided into four quadrants, each of them administered by a tetrarch. One of them was Herod, who administered the area of Galilee. Another was Philip, Herod's brother, who administered the area of Etruria and Trachonitis. A third one was Licinius, no relative to the other two, who administered the area of Abilene. And the one he doesn't mention is Archelaus, who is also a brother to Herod and to Philip. Archelaus is the most violent. Archelaus is the most vicious of all four of them. And he governs the area of Judea. It's for that reason that the angel says, "Do not take the child back to Bethlehem. Take the child to Nazareth." It's for that reason that Archelaus is not to be trusted. Well, anyway, putting it in this whole context, then Luke says, there was a man called John. And he's the son of Zachary, and he's a prophet. And he goes about the region of the Jordan, and he announces a baptism of repentance. Not a baptism of forgiveness. A baptism of repentance that would lead to the forgiveness of sin. He called people to repent. And in their repentance, in their change of heart, God would show mercy and sin would be forgiven. Now, what's this sin about which John is concerned? Well, it's found in what we hear from the prophet Isaiah. The sin is the valleys and the high mountains and the crooked roads and the rough paths. The valleys in which human beings are degraded and the high hills and mountains that allow human beings to be arrogant and overlords of each other. The crooked roads that reflect the selfish self-interest by which I place myself ahead of my neighbor. And the rough paths, the paths of violence and destruction. He says we must repent of that. We must make that valley of degradation no longer this pit. We must fill it in. We must make this mountain of arrogance low. We must cut it down. We must take that windy road of self-interest, of dishonesty, and straighten it out. And we must take that rocky and rough road of violence and clear it and make it smooth. He says it's more than being a signpost. We are to be construction workers. It's not enough that we just stand by those valleys with a sign and say, "Watch out. This is an open trench." It's not enough that we stand in that winding road of deceit and say, "Watch out, this is hazardous." It's not enough to be a sign. John says it is time to roll up our sleeves. It's time to take the axe and the shovel. It's time to bend our back and fill in that valley. Pull down that mountain. Straighten out that road. Make the rough way smooth. That's very typical of St. Luke's Gospel. Some say that St. Luke was a physician, and some say that St. Luke was a painter. But he is so committed to journeys and to roads, you'd almost think that he was an engineer. All of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul is always on the road to someplace new. And in the story of Jesus, Jesus is always on the road. For 9 chapters, he's on the road to Jerusalem. And stops here and stops there and does this and does that. It's the gospel on the road. And so he uses the image, he uses the geographic image to call his people to a change of heart. And why does he want them to do that? Does he want them to do that just so that people can get along with each other? Just so that people can be nice to each other? Just so that people can be just to each other? Just so that people can be caring to each other? No, that's not the reason. He says when all of this is done, then all humanity will be able to see the salvation of God. This is to be done so that everybody can see the salvation of God. He's not denying the fact that it is possible to know of God's love. He's not denying the fact that God is present even when the road is crooked and the valleys are deep. He says God is present in all of that. God is never absent, even from the worst of situations. But that the only way human beings around the world, all human beings, will be able to see, will be able to recognize the salvation of God is if these changes take place. So it's an act of faith. It's a lived faith. It's a work of faith that He is calling us to. So our job is to find the valleys and the mountains and the crooked ways and the rough ways in our own lives, in the lives of our communities, in the lives of the family of nations in which we live, societies, and to fill up those valleys, to pull down those mountains. What are the things that contribute to the degradation of human beings? What are the things that render human beings objects and non-persons? What are those things, those qualities, those attitudes that let a person fall into that pit, fall into that valley, fall into the darkness? When we look at each other and when we only see difference, difference of color, difference of language, difference of religion, difference of culture, difference of nationality. When we only see difference, all we do is we see the other. We do not see the sister or the brother. What are those mountains of pride and arrogance, by which we stand above all and know better than anyone else, by which our experience becomes the norm and the experience of others is, well, at the best, to be neglected? What are those mountains personally, within a family, within a society, within a nation? The arrogance that will not allow people to talk to each other. The arrogance by which preconditions are laid down before I can meet my neighbor. The arrogance that allows us to continue in a state of war because we cannot talk. What are those self-interests? Those selfish self-interests by which what I want and what I believe is good for me is all that matters? When I live that way, I create a road that is very hazardous for others to walk. Because if they don't walk in my footsteps, they'll fall off the road. It's a windy road. What are those acts of violence, those acts of hatred, those acts by which harm comes to others? Those attitudes, those values, those or lack of values that make walking the road rough and dangerous? That's what John is saying to us. That's what he invites us to repent from. And he's not saying that changing that and repenting from that is going to mean we're forgiven. Not at all. But he said it's the first step. It's the first step. it's facing truthfully the reality. And after that, I am capable of saying, Lord, have mercy. So as we celebrate this second week, beginning of the second week of Advent, we take John, we take Luke's John. There are other Johns in those other Gospels, but this is Luke's John. We take John the Baptist according to Luke, a strong, vibrant individual who calls a people